Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Now 2 years we're scribbling in that notebook.
It's always been bad.
And now it's just the same thing over and over again.
But that's why we write it down. Because sooner or later you remember something good.
I do remember something good. All the time.
You're gonna play ball one way or the other.
Yeah. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Greetings and welcome to FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind for the weekend of Saturday, August 6, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson. Hold on. I lost my page. There it is.
And that's it.
That's it.
Scott Johnson.
Yeah, my page went blank, but it's back. Hey, I'm Scott Johnson, joined by Brian. He always blows up a scene with a toaster if he can, Dunaway.
Totally worth it and spot on. Oh, hi. Come in. Sit down. What's that? How did I get into your little Russian shithole of a student apartment? And what am I going to do with this rolled up copy of Russian Life magazine in one hand and a toaster in the other? Well, keep on not sitting down and find out how I MacGyver of death my way out of this situation. Spoiler, you ain't gonna like it. Now sit down. I'm dizzy after all the running for 2 hours while being chased by a guy with whatever the opposite of Steadicam is. Now, before I drop this life-altering knowledge bomb and weak-ass apology on you, can I offer you the future of currency on the streets of India? It's Lay's potato chips. And I swear by them, because, you know, as the saying goes, fortune favors the Lay's. Riff in the headlines. Anywho, your mom didn't kill your dad and herself. I did. There, I said it. Uh-huh. Also, I made Julia Stiles cry so bad in a subway closet that she never came back to the movie. Oh, and I killed like 50 innocent drivers on the way over here. Also, when I was looking through your fridge for a fridge gun, I ate all your beef stroganoff and used your vodka for something other than drinking. And I'm sorry. Man, it feels good to get that off my chest. All right, I'm out. See ya. Have a good life. Hey, Randy, play some of that Slide Straw and a McDonald's cup music to intensify the drama of the scene. Thanks, man.
You do a pretty good impression of a straw and a cup. That's amazing. I don't even know what to make of that. All right. Also with us, Randy, his flashbacks are always filmed in 8 frames per second. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian.
Brian.
Randy. Did I ever tell you boys about my current business I run? Yeah. No. We anonymously support highly trained killer spies who want to live openly in distant parts of the world. Yeah, it's true. We're called, I almost told you our name. Yeah, actually, we don't know our name, but that's fine. It means the IRS also doesn't know our name. I mean, we only have 2 clients right now, but I think we'll get more. I think we'll get more, you know? Our man in Berlin is really blowing up right now, if you know what I mean. He's the kind of guy, he really knows how important it is to bring a knife to a rolled up magazine fight. And our other client, What a dream. Oh, lives in India on the beach, has a smoking hot common law wife who looks through his diary when he leaves the house, even though he tells her everything he knows. It's, you know, that guy is amazing. He can spot an assassin coming to kill him just based on the assassin's criminal resting face. I hope nothing happens to his lady, though, because then he'd have to burn all of his pictures of her, with the exception of the naked ones. He'll need those for later.
Sad. So sad.
Yeah,
I know. When did he get to take that photo, by the way? That photo of the two of them?
I don't know. That's a really good question.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing like hiding out and saying, hey, could you take this picture of us?
Yeah, thanks. No kidding.
I took those photos. It's my job. This is the business I'm running.
Oh, yeah, okay. it's Randy. You're
the photographer. Yeah, I thought it was the Lay's guy. Okay.
Yeah, no, not the Lay's guy with the future currency. Forget about crypto coin. Yeah. It's all about
fortune favors the Lays, baby.
That's right, baby. Finally with us, Brian, he only needs Julia Stiles for a minute, Ibbit.
That's true. Hello, Spy Superstore. How can I help you? Oh, sure, I can take your order. You need some supplies for going off the grid? Yeah, we can help you there. What's that? Oh, yes, we do offer curbside pickup. Uh-huh. First off, can I get your name? Jason Bourne. Okay. Hey, can I offer you a piece of advice? Yeah. Don't fall for the can I get your name thing. Okay. That was a test. Oh, that's not your real name? Okay. What's your real name? Ah, gotcha. Okay. All right. Well, what would you like? Passports. Oh, sure. We've got our passports bundle. It includes 12 different European and South American countries, as well as Canada if you're feeling frisky. Okay. Good. One passport bundle. What else? Magazines? Sure. Yeah, we've got those. For what kind of gun? Oh, magazines for reading. Oh, sure. Okay. For a knife fight? Okay, I'd go with your standard entertainment magazine, your People, your Us Weekly, because your fashion magazines aren't going to roll up tight enough, and the AARP magazine is going to be too flimsy to stay firm. That's a little joke in case there are any over 50-year-olds tapping into our phone line. I'll put you down for Entertainment Weekly. There's a great article in there about Bobby Moynihan.
Nice.
What else do you need?
Nice.
Oh, razors and shaving cream. Wait. You're off the grid and you've been shaving and keeping the exact same haircut as when you were active? Yeah. Is this a crank call? Who put you up to this? Hello? No, I don't know who's running Treadstone.
Are you watching me right now? I know you are.
Who is the CEO of Treadstone?
I like that y'all grabbed a hold of the magazine angle. I really felt like that was important.
The magazine, that is the that's the killer riff of this song, basically.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and they also, I feel like we're getting a bit of a trend here, because didn't we see this get used in, I think Alien had a weird magazine moment?
Yeah, Ripley shoves one down Ash's throat. Yep. I think that was a Time magazine.
It might have been.
That was awesome.
Yeah, I get it. I see
what you did. That was Popular Mechanics.
Yeah. Popular Mechanics. Even better.
Space porn is what I always like to think it was.
Yeah,
space
porn.
Certainly was.
Anyway.
I think it was actually. That's right. It was because it was right in front of all the nudies on the wall that somebody was torn out.
Yeah, that's right. Good that's call. Great. Ooh, yeah. Good that's memory great. On that, Scott. Ooh,
yeah,
look at that.
Probably Yaphet Koto's porn magazine.
I know. It's definitely whatever the squirrely mechanic dude.
Older guy. He's in everything. What's his name?
He's in everything. Well, he was for a while anyway.
Yeah, before he died. He looks like. Spuds Friendly. That's his name. Spuds Friendly. I don't
three know. Names. Three names. Is three names.
It's a three namer. Yeah.
John Spuds Friendly.
Nope.
Ah, I got to look it up. Damn it.
No.
I know. This is so annoying. He's in all sorts of stuff like Paris, Texas, and other movies and things.
Name is Harry Dean Stanton.
There you go. Harry Dean Stanton.
You did it the right way. I did it by cheating and looking it up.
That's all right. I knew it would come out eventually if I just pushed hard enough. Check it out, everybody. We're doing the Bourne Supremacy. Yeah, that's right. Number two in the in the order here of
in the grade.
Two. Yeah, Bourne movies. Yeah, they don't.
You want to hear a summary?
Yeah, give it.
I looked up a summary of this movie. Jason Bourne is living in India when he is framed by Russian agent Kirill for the theft of millions from the CIA. Kirill begins to pursue Bourne, intending to assassinate him. Mm. But while Bourne and his girlfriend, Marie, are on the run, a shot meant for him kills her instead.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
No.
That's the whole movie? Jeez.
Kirill Urban.
Kirill Urban.
So this, mine's even shorter. Mine says, when Jason Bourne is framed for a CIA operation gone awry, he is forced to resume his former life as a trained assassin to survive.
That's better.
Is it?
He's not really forced to. Mine, he's not really forced to. No.
I guess he's not really
mine,
forced
to. Mine is actually shorter than that.
Driven it says, to.
Hey, remember the Bourne identity? Yeah, more of that.
Yeah, kind of more of that.
Except less Franca now that she's dead.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, Franca Plenty.
She still gets second billing on like IMDb and
feels like a listing that's meant to obfuscate what's going to happen.
Sure.
So like you're not surprised or
yeah, you're like, oh, they're back together. She's in the sequel. Sweet. That's great. And then she's gone in the first 10 minutes and you're like, oh no.
I was so pissed. I was so right away, right off the top. What pissed off Brian? It was the fact that they killed her. Cause I was so excited. I was like, all right, they didn't do the typical bullshit where we had to start a new love interest when this starts. I'm like, sweet.
Or a different actress playing the same love interest.
Yeah. And they kill her after 15 minutes. I'm like, son of a...
Every other movie series would have started this with Jason Bourne depressed because she left him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Right?
And then he would have spent the whole movie slowly falling in love with Julia Stiles.
Yeah. I kept waiting for that to happen. I kept waiting for the kiss subway closet, but no, he just made her cry.
The subway closet where Julia Stiles remains to this day.
She's still there. Doesn't she in the newer one, Ultimatum or whatever, I think they make out in that.
Spoiler.
I kept thinking that she was, but I couldn't remember.
But I may not be right. Yeah, maybe I remember all wrong. And
I know. I don't remember. I do not remember like what happened in each of these movies. So that's why I'm so excited to watch them again as part of this is that
it's like
I can't remember what happened in the Bourne liquidation or
Bourne liquidation,
whatever the next one is.
Yeah.
Bourne ultimatum. Is that it?
Ultimato.
Is that the third one?
Third one's ultimato. Then they did the little thing with ultimatum. Renner. And then the next one was just called Jason Bourne. And they, yeah, and by the way,
with Jeremy Renner.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Jason Bourne was the, what was that called? Yes.
The Bourne replacement.
Replacement.
The Bourne.
The Bourne.
That's
Legacy.
Legacy is the one.
With Legacy's awesome, by the way. It's a great movie.
I just think it'd be funny if the one called Jason Bourne starred Jeremy Renner.
Yeah, that'd be good. I think they had intended to do some crossover more than they did, but they didn't. Anyway, this is Paul Greengrass directing. He took over from Last Dude, and he stayed there the rest of the time. He went all the way through, barring Legacy. He didn't do that. But he did.
Did he fire the Steadicam operator after that? Is that
no? He's known for this. Like, this is a staple of Paul Greengrass. All his movies are very shaky cam and also very, very non-CG. He doesn't use CG. Freaking hates it. Yeah. He wants everything to be natural. And
this was also like a kind of shakiness that was kind of new 20 years ago. Yeah. It wasn't like, you know, very common yet. And so there were a lot of complaints back in the day.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
They were using the alternate to slow-mo, which was the slow-mo with limited frames or something.
Yeah.
I never remember to describe it exactly.
He only used it for the flashback stuff, but I really hated that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm so used to it that I didn't even really notice it watching this today. Mm. Like I hear you, Dunaway, and I agree. Oh, I'm just saying it didn't strike me as odd, like, or interesting. Like, I was just like, oh yeah, this is what movies used to look like.
And it used to, there was a couple of things, that one, and I forgot that during this time we did a lot of processing. So like if you would have, even though it wasn't CG, still did some film processing. Like there's a couple of shots where Bourne is outside, or Carl Urban is outside, I believe, and it's a day shot, obviously, but they've processed it so it looks like a night shot.
I hate those.
Right at the beginning, we just talked about that exact thing
with Mad Max Fury Road the other last night.
Yeah, which is where I think it's done well. So Dunaway, shut your dirty mouth over there. Because I like that.
Let's put it this way. I didn't notice it in Mad Max. Therefore, it was done well. I noticed it egregiously here, so it must not have been done.
The whole thing is nobody noticed it in Mad Max until they did a commentary and said, by the way, this is all filmed in the day and we did this treatment on it. So
This one, you know, we start in India on the beach and they've darkened it to make it look like night. And it was so obnoxious that my feeling was, I wonder what they're hiding. Like, I wonder, like, the shot has something really like a billboard over there. And so they're just darkened it to hide that. You know what I mean? Like, that's how it felt.
Sure, sure.
I think it was for mood.
It's probably, but also, you know, so there's the thing with Greengrass. He loves handheld cameras. He thinks it just creates visceral, you know, personal, intimate sort of filmmaking. And I think it does. He's real big on muted colors, doesn't like to go bright or whatever. And it's just kind of a signature, like everything from United 93 all the way down to what's the I'm the captain now. What's the movie?
Oh, Captain Phillips. Yeah.
Captain Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, he kind of is a he goes against the trends, right? I mean, the green grass is always on the other side.
I see what you did there. That might be a title later.
Thank you. I'll be try the veal.
Yeah.
And we'll you're talking about a cinematographer named Oliver Wood. And if you look at
Hollywood,
his movies,
yeah, I love it.
Exactly. Thank you.
Brilliant.
If you look at his list where he's been credited as cinematographer, you see a lot of this kind of thing, but not always. He was the cinematographer for some comedies like Step Brothers, which, you know, it's shot very, very plainly. There's nothing really like special about it. Yeah. He was the cinematographer for the 2005 Fantastic Four, which I would argue did not stand out as being particularly dark or moody or something like that, you know?
No, shitty.
Just shitty.
It wasn't. Yeah. Look, that was the least of that movie's problem.
That's true.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Most recently, he did that News of the World Tom Hanks thing, Western that I still haven't seen. Came out in 2020. I still want to see it. I've been meaning to.
Oh, we're back to Greengrass? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if we ever left Greengrass. But anyway,
we were talking about Hollywood.
Hollywood.
Yeah, that's right. 1984 is his new project. It's announced. He's adapting the book. And I don't know what that means, because when I think of 1984, I think of very static shots. I think of like a lot of Steadicam work. And I'm having a hard time imagining a Greengrass treatment. But I don't know. Then I've also heard News of the World was also much more calmed down. So
it's great. Can't wait to see the narrator have a fight with Big Brother using a magazine, a rolled up magazine, a blurry fight.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. He'll say, what am I now?
I'm the Big Brother now.
I'm the Big Brother now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at me. I'm the Big Brother now.
I'm the oppressive state surveillancing the people now. Anyway, I like Greengrass, though. I don't know if anyone here has seen United 93, but it's hell of a movie. Of a movie. That thing got nominations.
The subject
for,
like, is so best picture deep. I mean, yeah.
Well, yeah. It's like really intense. Yeah. I will say this style fits that movie really, really well. Whereas in this one, it just felt kind of erratic. Like,
I usually think of that is how, you know, the person experiencing it would see it. Like, I feel like Jason Bourne would see everything very steady, because he would need to see everything steady, except when he gets hurt later on. So I'm like, okay, once he gets hurt, maybe that perspective should be changed. But yeah, United 93, you're talking about being in the air for most of that. And so, yeah, it makes sense to have like a shaky cam. That's what you should feel.
Yeah, really tight little shots that are, you know, people whispering to each other, trying to figure out what's going on. And then they go to the bigger, wider shots back at, you know, the Pentagon or wherever, where they're having big heated conversations. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, his style worked really well there. And all those nominations, I think, were worth it. I think that these are, I don't have, like, I'm a little bit with Randy here. It didn't really bother me. I just know that he's known for that, so it was impossible not to notice, but it doesn't bother me. I feel like the, you know, a free cam that's not on a swivel for steady shots was pretty common back then, still today.
You
know, and it wasn't all shaky cam all the movie. There were plenty of shots on, you know, on a crane or whatever, you know, overlooking a Berlin town square where there's a protest happening or whatever. Like, it was, you know,
like, was, I so felt brilliant. Like, go ahead.
Yeah.
So
the protest was brilliant, because I wondered why he was, I don't speak Russian, I don't read Russian, but obviously those posters he had seen earlier was letting him know that there would be there was a rally at this time. I didn't get that.
Well, this until was until later in Berlin, on. So it was German, but
Sorry. Yeah, you're right. It was German. Excuse me. Yeah. We're globetrotting here, so excuse me if I ever say.
Oh, they're all over the place, right? They're all over this damn planet in this movie, and they feel like there's barely any flight time, which makes no sense to me. But that's fine.
Yeah. That's Bourne. That's Bourne movies. That's
how I love that his first move, once he realizes that he's got to do something, because you know, it's never going to stop. The young Carl Urbans are never going to stop coming at him.
Yeah.
His first move is to go to Naples and check himself in, the trope of checking yourself into jail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows, I guess he knows that Naples is kind of soft, right? It's like a place where he can do what he wants to do and get away with it.
Yeah,
that poor guy.
That. I love that that whole thing. Like, there's so many things Matt, I'm sorry, Jason Bourne knows, but he doesn't really know why he knows them, mm-hmm. and it just like that makes me happy.
Yeah, Carl Urban. Like, let's talk
Tim
about
Griffin. Is Nevins? He was just trying to do his job, man. He's from the consulate. He's just showing up to take care of this rube. Oh, right?
Yeah. Bummer work day for that guy,
Jason. Yeah, Jason Bourne's just staring at a coffee stain on the table until he starts taking it to the face, and then it's not good.
Well, the trivia says that dude got knocked out by accident, too, in that fight, fight. He got hit by Matt Damon, and Matt Damon felt real bad about it, but he knocked him out for like 10 seconds.
I bet he did.
Yeah, got him real bad. But let's talk about Carl Urban for a second. He looks 12.
He does.
So he looks so young.
Skinny, young.
Really young. Now, this is only a few years after his stint in Two Towers and Return of the King, or actually Return of the King would have been this year. That same year. And he looks a lot older in Lord of the Rings than he does in this.
Around the time of the making of this movie, we're going to say Carl Urban's 31, 32.
Something like that. Yeah. Early 30s.
He has no business looking this young.
Yeah. He's a very handsome, very young looking dude in this. And I just can't see it because I've been watching Billy Butcher do his thing. And
And while we're here, by the way, Carl Urban is our all-time winner of best IMDb photo. There can never you're never gonna beat this. What's crazy?
Cowboy baby.
He's in a cowboy movie. I've seen this movie. It's it was right around the same time. Hold on. What is this called? Yeah,
it's
Comanche Moon TV show. That's so good. Yeah. It's a great miniseries. Yeah. Why that's his chosen photo, I don't know. But
this actor has had such a career the last 15 years.
Yeah.
And to have a picture from Comanche Moon on IMDb is just hysterical.
Yeah. But I think you see in that photo the trick here. Give him an actual beard, not just an opaque little overgrowth or whatever, and he looks older. Take that beard off, there's a child running around with a silencer killing
a baby.
People.
Right.
There's a baby chasing me.
Yeah. But he's great. Well, I freaking love him.
What was his... Okay, so I know Randy loves these trope things. But his character is kind of a trope because he's almost like a Frankenstein monster or a zombie in this movie. Because no matter how fast Jason Bourne runs, and he runs fast, Carl Urban just walks at a fast pace, and he's just able to catch up with him every time.
I'll give you the TV trope entry. It's called Badass Normal.
Normal.
All right. Yep. Badass Normal. All
right. So Kirill, as an FSB agent and freelance assassin, is the closest to a normal person among all the super operatives that Bourne has fought. Yet he's come the closest of anyone to killing Bourne.
Right.
Badass Normal is a pretty deep trope here. Lots of examples. Let's see if we can...
He could go to India and even though he seems to have just arrived and has, you know, he's always able to outmaneuver as far as, okay, where's it going? The Matt Damon lives there for 2 years and, you know, Carl Urban's character knows all the shortcuts. I'm like, what?
There's bunch of examples of this trope from Star Wars, because you have people who are force sensitive and people who are just also good at whatever.
Yeah.
So, for instance, in the original trilogy, Wedge Antilles and Poe Dameron are not Force-sensitive, but they're like really awesome ace pilots, right?
Yeah. Right.
So they're badass normal, for sure. Yeah. I think, you know, whatever, Han Solo is that. He's badass normal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I think toward the end there, didn't they try to sneak in something, some shit? Like, he can feel...
You mean like when he got stabbed on the...
No, not that. But when feelings of like something, he could feel something or some shit.
Oh, yeah. They always try to do that in the freaking Star Wars. It's like, he's force sensitive.
Is he or isn't he force sensitive?
I hate that.
Sean Connery in The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He's just a normal guy.
Yeah.
Really? He's Quartermain. Yeah. Is he Quartermain in that one? Remember that correctly?
Yes, he's Alan Quartermain. And Alan Quartermain is exactly that. He's basically Indiana Jones. He doesn't have any superpowers. He's just really good at basic shit that all adds up into sort of
what's your superpower? Being a badass.
I actually liked the whole thing where Kirill doesn't kill Bourne, right? No. But you know, he's really, really good. He gets the drop on Bourne, kills his wife, and then like Bourne has to go find him and get revenge. And I was thinking, like, the whole end of this movie is about how Bourne kills him, which is to say he doesn't really, really kill him. Like, the guy, yeah, but the guy kind of, you know what I mean? He gets killed driving a car.
Death by attrition. It's just like they were going to pull that rope back and forth for the rest of time if somebody didn't wreck worse than the other guy wrecked. You know,
And Urban hijacked a really nice car. Like, that was the other thing. Urban, his name is Carol.
Yeah.
Jacked a really nice car. And I thought that
was a Mercedes. What was it? It was a
Mercedes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh man. But Bourne always knows the toughest vehicle because that Russian taxi, let me tell you what, that Russian taxi drives you. That was a
Beamer.
Golly, that thing. Yeah. Survived every possible bang and scrape and still was able to push an SUV sideways into a guardrail.
I've never seen a Beamer as a taxi. That was a new look, you know?
Yeah. Right.
Had that awesome front end, that impossible to ignore front end that all Beamers have. Yet it's a taxi, and then he wrecked the shit out of it.
And he didn't use his blinker once.
No, he didn't, did he? Speaking of never doing anything once or only doing anything once, you guys talked about that photo, and we don't know who took it of him and the girl. It's the only...
Randy did. He admitted to it, by the way.
Oh, yeah, it was Randy. That's right. But it's the only shot in the entire movie where Jason Bourne smiles at all. Is that static photo? Nothing else. Not one grin.
I'm assuming they were like at some Indian restaurant, and a guy's all like, "Hey, you guys look happy. Let me take a picture of you." And he's like, "Okay."
You can now have it for 10 rupees, basically.
Right? Exactly.
Just one of those. Oh, I hate that.
When he's first going to burn a bunch of pictures, I'm sitting there screaming, "Why are you doing that? What the hell is wrong?"
Yeah, she's dead.
Every picture he's got is actually a collage of multiple pictures that looks like it was taken in some sort of photo booth at a photo studio.
Right.
And I'm just like, okay, no one does that. No one has pictures like that. You should burn those.
Why burn them at all? Like, if she's gone.
Yeah.
What is the point?
Spider-Man rules are out because, you don't need to protect your family. Aunt May. Yeah. You got nobody to protect.
No, it's fair. It's fair. But, like, I don't know. It felt useless and dumb. Like, just keep them. Yeah. Keep one. Put it in your pants.
He kept one.
I thought he threw it away. No?
No, he kept the
one where he was smiling.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Or to remind himself how to smile.
That's right. Cool. Remember, this is when I was happy. That's the thing. I was like, the revenge on Urban was for us, the audience, and not him. Because if it should have been him, like when Urban was moving around a little bit at the very end there, he should have went, you know, loaded a couple into him and then also threw the picture on him, you know,
throw
like that,
the picture that on been him. Like,
yeah. That's why.
Yeah, that's why I killed you. Yeah. He just looked desperate to like get out of there. Like, he finished the job, or he finished the wreck, got out, saw that he was like dead on the steering wheel or on the dashboard, or sort of dead, still kind of squirming right there at the end.
Right.
Yeah.
He could come back. And that's why I think
I don't know what happens in Ultimate. We might get some more Kirill Urban.
Yeah, I don't know. Kirill Urban.
It's possible. And we're talking a lot about Kirill, and we're kind of skipping the fact that this movie has two distinct bad guys. This is not the only villain in the movie. Brian Cox is all over this thing as a villain.
There's three, right?
Well, there's one.
Brian Cox and also the Russian guy who we hardly ever see.
Well, but there's also the other leftover Bourne guy, or guy from the program, who's played by
Thomas Arana.
I'm sorry,
different guy. Jard is played by Marton Sokas.
Nope, not him. Hold on.
What?
No, the guy. You're right. Martin. The guy. You're right. It's Martin. How do you say his last name?
Sokas.
Sokas with a C-S. I guess that's like
Sokas.
What's that country? They had all those problems. Anyway,
that guy is
awesome. I love him and everything. He's
a poor man's European Topher Grace is what he is.
Oh, nice.
Strange looking guy.
Yeah,
sure. He was great in all sorts of stuff, though. That dude's like, he's not the first time we've seen him either. We saw him in Aeon Flux.
We talked about him in his weird IMDb photo with his suspenders, but he looks like he's doing a magic act or something.
Yeah.
I'll give you the previous ones. We've seen this guy in Timeline.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
In XXX, first XXX.
Yeah.
And he was in Aeon Flux.
Yeah, Aeon Flux. Oh. Did we not do The Equalizer? I guess we didn't.
We haven't yet.
He's very good in that.
Me too. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one. He's just an interesting dude and has a lot of interesting TV stuff. I think the first time I saw him was like Warrior or Xena Warrior Princess. And I remember thinking, oh, he's got a cool face. He'll go on. And here he is. Look at him now. Look at him now.
I do like they promoted Brian Cox to, to on hands, on deck bad guy.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like not just doing it from remote. He's actually got to get his hands dirty.
But we knew this is where he was headed, right? Because he had everybody killed in the last one and cleaned that place up, and then no one knows. And now he's back at the main office for 2 years just chilling. I think he was done.
Like a villain.
I think he thought he was done. He thought he was just going to keep all the secrets and sit there and chill out and then retire the next year and be out of there. Nope.
And can we talk about the trope where Jason Bourne leaves behind a pistol for Ward?
Yeah, always.
I love that. I love believing that there's only one round in that gun.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You leave behind a pistol when you want your enemy to end it himself.
He sure shot himself weird. Like, they do this in movies a lot. It's PG-13, so they're holding back on gore and stuff. But when he is talking to Wutzerbeek, who I haven't mentioned yet, and I love her. Can't think of her name all of a sudden. Joan Wendy. Allen.
Yeah.
I think Brian Cox has been around long enough to know, how much do I trust the on-set gun guys? Not enough to put it underneath my chin.
Yeah. Nope. Because he went like really fast, cut the camera away. Mm-hmm. Joan Allen freaks out. Done. But it just seemed a little fast. Like, you're gonna miss and just end up in the hospital with like half an eye or something.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, half a face. Yeah,
You don't want that. You don't want that.
No.
I heard the worst story. No. Here's a fun story that's terrible. Guys, listen to this.
Oh, give it to us.
So I'm watching Seinfeld and I got curious. I'm like, hey, that guy from this industrial smoothing company that George works for, the boss. He's a great
the one
great,
that had the thing on his shoulder that needed to get looked at.
Yes, that's the guy.
Yeah.
Oh, it gets so much worse than that. You mentioned that. So he goes, that guy, he's also Satan in Oh Brother Where Art Thou. He's got the sunglasses with the flames in it. Anyway, the guy's great. Anyway, I'm like, where is he? What's he doing? I look up this whole horrible story where this dude got some form of cancer, which is a little too close to the Seinfeld story.
Yeah.
You're talking about an actor named Daniel Von Bargen.
There he is. That's the guy. He's very upset about it. He decides he's going to check out of this life, but he does the gun thing. It just mortally maims him horribly. He doesn't die.
Oh, jeez.
And then ends up in the hospital and just slowly dies from that and the cancer combined. It's like the worst horrible story.
That's terrible.
For a guy that made really great appearances and all sorts of stuff, great character actor. Anyway, enjoy that depressing story. Let that simmer.
Yeah. Wow.
Enjoy that.
Nice.
Yeah, that was a rabbit hole I regretted. I got down to the bottom of it and went, there are no rabbits here. This is some...
there's the rabbits just sadness.
Just death
Julia
and sadness.
Stiles crying.
It's Julia Stiles crying.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Anyone else kind of impressed that the movie did what it did with Nikki? Like, because it wasn't at all what you were expecting.
I mean, in a way, part of it was me playing. It was playing with my memory because I'd seen this movie in theaters and maybe one other time. But in my memory, they're like full on joined up working together. And that must be the next one.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So
I love it. I thought she did fantastic. She really.
Yeah. Oh,
you know, that's how you would probably act if you had been part of training killer dogs.
Yeah.
And then one of the killer dogs showed up and said, "Oh my God." You'd be like, "Oh my God, what did I do? I'm so sorry."
Yeah. I like her in general. She's great. Nothing wrong with Julia.
What's her IMDb description? Her picture's fine, but her description is lovely, slim-eyed, blonde Julia O'Hara Stiles of Irish, English, and German heritage. What?
Whoa.
Really?
Lovely, slim-eyed, blonde Julia. Okay.
Yeah. Slim-eyed, yeah.
What is that even?
The outgoing daughter and eldest of three children of Greenwich Village artist mother Judith Newcomb Stiles and elementary school teacher father John O'Hara.
Wow. Who wrote this? Wow.
She's very attractive, but I notice on the set, like from the side view, she could almost have her whole face against a door. Like she could.
Maybe that's the slim.
She has
part.
A very, maybe that's it. But she has
so you want to edit
nose.
It to flat face profile. Is that what you want to edit it to? You're terrible.
Yeah. See, this is the problem. Everybody in Hollywood, we all look at them on camera and we think, but if you see them in person, they've all got giant heads. They got weird feet. Their toes are effed up. Like,
you mean they're humans with different.
Right, exactly. Yes. And I want to, preface that by just saying that I find her extremely attractive.
Yeah.
Right.
Just not from the side.
If I was in the, if I met her later, yeah, it's kind of like that Seinfeld episode. If you want to talk about the most, I always forget how great Seinfeld is at exposing the horribleness of humanity.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like the girlfriend he has that looks bad and different lighting and that kind of stuff. It's just such a reflection of our terrible human nature.
Oh, yeah. Oh. No, they're all, yeah. They're all Larry David.
From? I think it comes What's from, that? And Scott might be able to speak to this too, but like when we went to art school or when we were, you know, being taught art, we were taught, oh, profile, you draw, you know, this is, these are the proportions that
golden
you
make. Ratios.
Right. The forehead, the nose, the chin, the, you know, all that sort of thing. And so that's, I think that's why maybe
you notice
he
it
and
more.
I, especially, and that, especially Scott, notice.
And in that particular picture you sent us as well, her hair is going a lot of way to frame her face into making it look more flat. But yeah. I mean, I'm a god. I'd hate for people to look at my picture and then describe.
You're a handsome man.
I'd give my left arm to look like her, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, I'd give both arms. Both arms, no problem.
You'd be like Holy Grail Monty Python here.
You would just be a torso on the ground saying, "Tis a scratch." Yeah.
But you'd look like her.
Yeah, no, I'd look like her,
so
but I would
be on the
You'd be, still be a torso.
Be ground styles.
Yeah, I'd be ground
arms and then look like her. She has arms.
Yeah, no.
Right. So, oh my gosh, I don't know.
See, that's the problem is none of this works really in the end because if you give your arm, well, then you're a one-armed Julia Stiles, and nobody wants that.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But back to the point, the greater point, her talent in her acting in this was, I thought, some of the best.
She's great.
I mean,
I thought everybody did great. I thought everybody was great in this. I think Matt Damon was a little one note, but still good. I thought that all the people back at base, and in particular Joan Allen, are excellent actors and are great.
Yeah, Jason Bourne's a two-dimensional character, though, so it's fine.
I mean, ish. I think it was a little more range in the first one. I think it also ended better in 2016 with the last one. I don't know. Like, For a series that started before cell phones and flat screen monitors and now ended with all those things.
I like stories of damaged soldiers. I mean, one of my favorites is like Universal Soldier. It's very two-dimensional. You got a couple of very, you know, you got a Jean-Claude Van Damme who is trying to understand what he is. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just very two-dimensional. I like those stories.
I'm okay with them. They're kind of neat. They're fine.
Yeah.
If look, if your movie's a good time. Like, speaking of which, I just did it on Recommendals, but that Gray Man thing that's on Netflix is a lot of that, a lot of two-dimensional stuff, but presented extremely well.
Right.
And, critics are like, it's not three-dimensional enough. Well, F off. It's a good time. Eat some popcorn.
I'm here to watch somebody beat a guy up with a magazine, all right? That's all I'm here for. I want to watch Julia Stiles cry.
Yep.
I want to see a guy get beat up with a magazine.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah, that's right. Like the famous Prince song, met her in a hotel lobby getting beat up by a magazine. That was a thing. Callback.
What happened?
Also.
Was it Gabriel
Darling
Mann?
Nikita, I think it's that song.
Right.
Well done. That was good.
I'm trying to find the actor. Is it this guy here, Gabriel Mann? Did he play Danny Zorn with Brian Cox?
Yeah, he's
mercilessly
the guy
killed.
Yeah. Right in the stairwell. Yep.
Yeah, that was gnarly, dude. Oh, yeah, that was gnarly.
I just wasn't expecting it.
Yeah.
I realize it's tropey as hell that Brian Cox turns out to be the real bad guy behind all of this, and he needs to cover his tracks. I realized it once he had the knife in the guy's belly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But up until that instant, I was really going along with this. I'm like,
You figured he was just a bad guy. He's the bad guy. It's no big deal. There's no turns here. There's, you know, and then Gabriel, the Danny Zorn character, is just giving him some showing, but nope.
One of my favorite actors in this thing, character actor named Thomas Arana. You guys know him probably without knowing it. You know him from Gladiator. He's like he's like the right hand man most of the time to Maximus.
And he is 100% poor man's John Malkovich. It is weird.
He has the look. You're not wrong. He has the look.
John Malkovich.
Oh yeah.
Right. He is he's so good in everything, and he is in tons of stuff. Like, his career is huge. I could watch that guy freaking peel a banana. He's great.
I want to talk about the best acting in this film.
Okay.
I want to talk about
lay it on.
I want to talk about the contrast of the terrible tech bullshit in the first one compared to the actually kind of realistic four pane MUX panes on the Unix system that they were operating with this time around. Yeah. They must have got the message that the first one with the technology, which was only what, 2 years prior?
Yes, yeah. Correct.
Two years prior.
They still had some terrible UI on like telephone line tracing and searching. Oh my gosh, it was terrible, guys.
They had some of that. Like, I still think I'm with Dunaway though that it felt more grounded than the first one did.
Way better. Yeah, right.
But you're not wrong, Randy. It's still ridiculous.
I'll bet you in the history of fingerprint searching, there has never been a time that a tech was sitting in front of a computer and there were like three people standing behind them watching the very entertaining scrolling of the
I work for a government funded agency, and I gotta say my boss stands behind me way more than I appreciate.
Yeah, but what's on the screen isn't entertaining is what I'm saying.
It's not, it never is.
And there's no computer system that is searching for something but takes the time to display on screen everything that it compares it to.
Yeah.
It's like, that's never happened. It would do it behind the scenes. It's like, I'm checking all the
right. Come back. Let's go get some coffee. This is going to take a couple hours.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe a progress bar, but that's all you're getting. Let's show every fingerprint we have in our database one after another.
It's always interesting to me because I don't understand why movies think we need to have that stuff fluffed up. I don't know why they think that matters because I don't think it does. I don't need it to make. I don't need every character that appears on screen to make a sound.
That's us, though, right? Like we, you know, we're computer users. We know how these things work. But I think the average Joe who maybe, you know, isn't on a computer as much as we are and know how these things work goes into these things and saying, well, how do I know that that thing is doing what you're telling me it's doing when it's not showing me all the fingerprints it's searching?
Those people who see that and go, oh, that must be how it works are people I hope I never have to have lunch with or hang out with. You know what I mean?
Sure. All computers make that sound.
I prefer the actors to do the acting or the reacting of what they're doing on a computer as opposed to actually seeing the screens. I don't know. I mean, I appreciate when she says in Jurassic Park, it's a Unix system. I didn't need them to then zoom in on this graphic of them flying over, you know, and rendering the, you know, the whole park. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but you know, that's like you said, Ibit, that's just us, you know, we're kind of in.
That's why I like sneakers, just command line shit. And here's the cursor and you're typing stuff and it doesn't make weird noises and it is what it is. And it doesn't detract from the film at all. If anything, it makes me appreciate it more. So
I work in a BSD, Unix, Linux type systems every day. And I always have my four pane MUX panes open so that I can hop between stuff. So it's actually true. I mean, I was I appreciate the fact that I was like, oh, that's really someone who is operating on
when
a
someone
Linux
does that. Yes,
system.
When someone does that and they do it legitimately, it's like a huge bump for me. I love it.
Yeah,
but when they go, here's a huge animation no one needs and a bunch of sounds that don't exist, freaking F off. Hate that.
Great acting.
Yeah. By the way, speaking of IMDb photos. Oh yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Oh, I was gonna say one more thing. I did get pissed off the whole fingerprint thing. I was like,
yeah,
F off. Where did you get his stupid fingerprint from? He hasn't left a fingerprint anywhere in deck. And how are you going to shut up.
Yeah.
Well, they have to have all that stuff stored in their database, right? That they can.
Carl Urban. How did he get it? Was his face give it to him? But how did he get it?
Yeah, yeah.
And then mailed
it to him in a
print it on an envelope. Yeah. But then what do you do? You print it on a piece of tape backwards?
Sure.
How do you get that thing on there? Get out of here.
Yeah, I don't know.
Stop waving your hand at me.
It's not the biggest jump in. Yeah,
the flimsy part of the whole fingerprint gambit is that all of these really experienced CIA folks don't immediately distrust it. They all fall for it.
We had to have Rube Gabriel Mann go downstairs and explain it to the chief. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good way of putting it. Real quick, Paul Greengrass is my IMDb photo of the week. That guy looks like he has a party just waiting to happen all the time. Big British guy with a long hair.
Love
and a big fat smile. And he just looks like a dude I could hang out with, that guy.
Yeah.
He's from Cheam, Surrey, England. Here, hello.
Oh, there you go.
Hello. Cheam.
Where all the cameras are shaky.
So this is... I wrote Chicken the Bucket, but I think it's Well, here, look at this.
Grab a bucket.
I think it's my memory about him ending up with Julia Stiles. I think that's the
challenge. Yeah, I think that's a good call.
It's just Julia Stiles. She really only is in one little part of this movie.
Yeah.
And then she's just stuck there in a room that he scared her in for the rest of the movie.
She's also integral to that whole, like, she's standing right next to you. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I love it.
Which, that was almost going to be my intro this week, by the way. I was going to do Jason Bourne calls, you know, a whole bunch of different businesses.
Yeah.
Well, I know you said you're out of those. Could you check in the back? Yeah, hold on. I'll check in the back. Okay, I'm back.
Wait.
Yeah, we don't have any of those. I know you didn't go back there.
You would think after the third time that she's gotten phone call from him, she would know he's watching.
She knows to start looking around immediately when he answers the phone and says, okay, where are you at? Which building are you on top of?
I have some other false memories in this movie, too, about, like, I thought David Strathairn was in this one. He's not. He's in the next two. Okay. He's great, and he's the one that famously goes, Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne, that whole thing, like this, the meme. And I thought that happened in this one. No, it didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a little bummed at how much of this movie I've conflated into the final two. Like, it's all moved into that. And for whatever reason, I thought Daniel Craig's wife was in this. Can't think of her name.
Oh,
but she's Rachel Weisz. Yeah. She's in Legacy with Renner, and I've mixed that up somehow. So I shouldn't be counted on for any Bourne knowledge.
You cannot be trusted for your Bourne knowledge.
No, you could have said, hey, Scott, when did these movies come out? And I could have told you, but that's it. Don't trust me on anything else.
I'm inviting you to my all Jason Bourne trivia night.
That's probably a good idea. In which film does Jason Statham join? All of them? I don't know. I don't freaking know. Anyway, what else we got? Oh, nothing grossed me out, so forget it.
They just didn't really try to do something.
What about
gross.
Okay? Wait. What about when Bourne's fighting? You know, right after the magazine and knife fight, or the very end of the magazine and knife fight, dude is flailing around and like sticks his finger accidentally in Matt Damon's mouth as he's like pulling him behind his neck. I actually watched that scene twice because I was watching Brian Dunaway's clip collection.
You know what? That's a good call. He did get a finger in the mouth.
He did. And Matt Damon goes, phew. Like,
he seemed really annoyed by it, didn't he? Okay, you know what? Retroactively applying it.
You waxed your anus. Gross.
All right, it's in. It's gross.
I just felt so bad for the character Nevins. That was the guy that was interviewing Jason Bourne when he got his butt handed to him.
Yeah.
He gets knocked out by Jason Bourne and then immediately gets called by his superiors. And while he's still groggy, they're all on his ass about, you know, what happened. I was like, oh God, that would be the worst. Because I hate getting phone calls when I first wake up. I just felt such sympathy for him.
The worst. I can't. Well, I'm glad we live in a time where I don't even feel like I need to pick those up. I'm just going to let them go.
Yeah,
let them run.
Never.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because this is the modern era and you can text me. Don't freaking call
you
me.
You could text me.
But
text.
There's a couple of weird little notes in here. Like, so this speaks to the editing style and the direction style. The average length of a shot is almost exactly the same as that used in Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. Yeah. 1.9 seconds per shot is the average. So there is nothing that goes long enough to change that average for being a full 2 seconds, which is...
Well, we like to keep our green grass short.
See? Yeah. Another one. There's another one.
Yeah, that's two green grass jokes. Thank you very much.
This is the weirdest post they put in IMDb, though, in trivia. And I don't know if I should give it scrutiny. Well, sure I could.
Scrutiny.
It says, unlike the James Bond franchise, all of the devices that Bourne uses are real and can be purchased by the average man.
Like that's a weird magazine or a toaster oven.
That thing that you plug into a phone, move the SD card.
That was what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Listen to people's conversations and open their vehicles and all that stuff.
Also, why do you where'd you get the fancy Audi while you were living in India? No one noticed. Like, come on.
I think Ibbot's intro would disagree.
Yeah,
because that's what he talks about, right? Yeah.
I talked about Spy Superstore where he goes shopping for all those things.
Yeah. So you've already proven this.
It's
this
true. Okay. I guess I negated my own argument.
Proper negation. Carl Urban, who played Kirill, and Martin Kostas, who played Jardia.
Giardia.
Yarda. That's a diarrhea disease, right? Giardia, I think. Anyway.
Yeah.
Are both alumni of Shortland Street in 1992 when it started. I think it's still going. It's New Zealand's longest running soap opera, and they were both part of the cast.
Oh, really?
From 93 to 94, they were both there working together. Yeah. That's kind of cool, right?
That's got an instrumental intro where everybody smiles and looks at the camera.
Yeah, just because they're handsome. That's it.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Reading about the making of this movie, what really struck me was how much effort people have made to call it, you know, like a surprise that the movie was even made. There's like all of this memories from different people about how they only made one. They made The Bourne Identity, and no one wanted to make another one because the studio and Doug Liman were at odds.
Yeah, but tons of money. It did real good.
Yeah. And then like they make the movie, and apparently they made it with a different ending, and like test audiences hated the ending. And so Matt Damon was already on the set of Ocean's 12 when they came and offered him $200,000 to just leave and come do reshoots for the ending that we actually saw. And the movie tested much better with this ending.
That seems low for Matt Damon. But I guess he needed some cryptocurrency money. So whatever, I guess. I don't know.
I guess he needed some. Yeah. Wonder how that's going. I mean, look, people got real mad at him doing that ad, but people do a lot of ads.
I'll guarantee you he got paid in real cash.
Yeah, he got real money for that.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Yeah, and also he probably doesn't give a shit about crypto.
Maybe a combo, right? Like 80% real money, 20% bozo money. Yeah.
But I never heard like a Gene Hackman United Airlines ad and went, oh, dirty money coming from the airline. People just get paid for ads. You just do ads.
Yeah, they just get paid. Yeah.
He doesn't care.
His mistake was agreeing to read that fortune favors the brave. That was his one. He should have said, I'm not saying that.
No, yeah, he should have said.
They'll get me for that one.
Yeah. He should have said,
just buy the shit. Get out of here.
Buy the shit. Goodbye. Leave me alone.
I'm Matt Damon.
Good night.
This is the first thing I've done that doesn't have Ben Affleck in it. That's buy amazing. Some crypto.
So there's an interesting bit of trivia. Virtually all of the events in the movie were shot in reverse order of location. So that means scenes in Moscow were shot first and those in Goya were shot last. So it's almost like what we saw was you'd flip it.
Right. Okay.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's weird to me. I know that a lot of productions do that, right? Like that's normal.
Yeah, do it.
Because it's what you have to do things out of order, but in complete reverse order is just,
I know, complete in like really complete reverse. That's weird. I mean, I'm with you. Jumping around seems logical.
Yeah.
Like going in reverse order. It seems
hard to keep track of. Like if you're Paul Greengrass, are you like, oh shit, right. This has already happened, but they're still here. Like, would you get confused? I don't know. Maybe you wouldn't. You'd have enough people in production and you just work it out. But if I was going to make a movie, I would want to make it chronologically. You know,
a lot of them do. Yeah. A lot of them do. They make it from the beginning of the script all the way to the end.
Yeah.
It's got to be easier if you're an actor to like, I'm reacting to the other things I've learned earlier in the film and da da da.
Yeah, exactly. That wasn't even a part I was thinking of, but exactly. If an actor dies or something,
or takes damage during the film. It seems like it takes damage. Well, because they have to make up,
an MMO.
Yeah, they're losing some hit points, Brian. They're losing hit points.
At the very end of it, he's got the most makeup on he's going to wear, and he has to act
out what he thinks
is going to happen. It's like, why am I limping here? Oh, because in a scene we haven't shot yet.
Yeah, I get shot.
My leg hurt.
That's a good point.
So, I mean,
got a leg hurt.
I got a leg hurt. y'all, what happened? I got a leg hurt. That's great. Ain't got no gas in it. Anyway, go ahead. What?
I want to make sure we touch on Joan Allen. This is only our second time we've ever seen her in a film SAG movie.
Yeah.
She had a competent.
That's how I would describe her performance.
She's amazing. Yeah. She's more than that. She's great.
She's really good.
Love her.
Anyway. Well, she played competent. And she was competent doing it.
Yeah, you're right.
I felt like she really kind of like took charge, not just the character taking charge, but like as an actor, she really, everything she was in, it felt like it was kind of an all eyes on her scene.
Mm-hmm.
We previously saw her in Face Off, which I don't remember her in that movie. So
she was the wife.
Well, we were busy watching people swap faces. So how could you?
She's Nicolas Cage's wife in that?
No. John Travolta's wife.
John Travolta's wife for the first half of the movie. Right.
Correct.
First face or second face? I gotta know.
Correct. That is exactly right. So she was there when creepy Travolta, who had Nick Cage in him. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Nick Cage wearing his... Never mind. I don't want that visual to continue. But yeah, that's the only other thing, right? We haven't seen any of the other stuff with her.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. She's great. She should be on all things. I just take her, like, I would want her as my boss for whatever reason.
Sure.
Oh, she seems competent.
Yeah.
She looks like she knows what she's doing.
Very competent. Well,
Scott, if you like Joan Allen in this movie,
yeah,
we should do Bourne completion or whatever Bourne the next one is.
It's ultimatum. The ultimatum.
Ultimator.
Yeah. Ultimator. Yeah,
because that's more Joan Allen.
Push some hot mustard on.
What else is he going to say with the ultimatum? He already keeps telling him, look, leave me alone. I'm coming to kill you.
That's the one Stop everyone it. Thinks is that's the best. Ultimatum. People think that one's the best of all. So
this yeah. there really is a world of people who need to be told to leave Brittany alone, right? Like, that's the whole thing. Like, Jason, just leave Jason Bourne alone. Everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah. like, there's just more and more people who don't know that. They haven't gotten that message.
Well, they don't. But right. I think a lot of them have the message. They just know that he is a ticking time bomb, or they think he is. Like, I do think yeah. him and German girl would have settled down forever and never made a peep, but they're not so sure. And I think that they will continue to poke that nest because they just think, well, we've created the world's ultimate human weapon. We can't just right. leave him.
We got to keep yeah. track of it. Yeah. Right. We got to destroy it.
Mm. Yeah. Which is, I guess, the whole, I don't remember how things turn out in the final one, but I'm here to watch it with you guys.
And there's even question as to whether it will be the final one. Matt Damon says he thinks people are pretty much done with the character, but there's a treatment for, a screenplay written for another movie. There's, it basically has everything confirmed except for Matt Damon.
So everyone, just fine. Like every one of these other movies, they say it's the last one and it never is. Mm-hmm. The first movie, everyone said, no, that's it. And then they did another.
Oh, did this they really? One, after yeah. the first one even?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Same with this one. They were like, yeah, we're good. And then they have to explain some shit in the next one that they sort of finalized in this one. And like, they're always doing that. So that gives me confidence there will be another one.
How many books were there? Do we know?
Oh, a lot of them like, books going forever.
Nine?
Okay. So plenty, like lots of.
Yeah,
except, lots of Bourne material.
Except these are famously don't follow the books very well, so I don't know if that even matters, but maybe it does. Okay. I mean, I've
17,
read them,
17 books.
17. Holy shit.
17. Not no, wait, nine,
really? 17 yep. books? Seriously?
Wow. Yep. After Bourne Legacy, I'm not going to name them all, but there's Bourne Betrayal, Bourne Sanction, Bourne Deception, the Bourne Objective, the Bourne Dominion. It just keeps going, guys.
Is there any not called Bourne?
No, they're all that.
They're all
okay. Bourne. Just checking.
Bourne Enigma. That's one.
The Bourne Yesterday. Initiative.
Yeah, Bourne yeah. Yesterday. It's got to be one. God, if they didn't do it, they messed up.
Right? Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, they're continuation novels from someone else. So Ludlum only
Eric
did three.
Eric von Lesbader, yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. So Ludlum did three, and then this Lustbader.
Lustbader!
He came in and did all the rest.
Lustbaiting. Yeah.
I've got to convince Scott Johnson to read some Eric von Lesbader books.
I don't know who that is. I guess I've never heard of the guy. Here, let me look at his stuff. Oh, he's got a mix of things, some fantasy and some sci-fi and some other shit.
Intrigue.
That's cool. Did Ludlum die? Is that the deal?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know he died. All right. Well, good luck to him.
I guess that's one way to get a right book.
Good luck to him.
Right, oh, he got to see. Him. We did talk about this. He didn't get to see even the first movie. He died in 01.
Oh, really? Oh, that's a bummer.
That is a bummer. Wait, when was the first movie? 2002? 3? 2? 1?
4?
I don't know. Somewhere around there, he passed away at the age of 73. All right. What else? I got nothing else. Or do I? Oh, I wrote, I have a ridiculous crush on Michelle Monaghan. Now, I wrote that because she's in the credits, but I don't remember where the hell she is in the movie.
I don't remember her in here at all. Michelle Monaghan from, like, Spotlight and...
yeah, she's from the best of the Mission Impossibles, which was 3.
Oh.
And she's right here. Yeah. Michelle Monaghan is someone named Kim, and I don't know who... I don't know who that is.
Is she the mom that commits that is framed for committing suicide?
Oh, maybe.
Oh, could be.
Here, let me look it up. See if there's an image search for Bourne and her.
Yeah. She has 493 photos on IMDb. I wonder if any of those are.
Oh, she just works at the agency.
Oh, okay.
She's in the she's a background character. This is early for her. 06 would have been that. Her real breakout was 06 and Mission Impossible 3. But here, let me put that in there. You can see her. So yeah, she's hanging out with Joan Allen doing like computer shit. There she is.
Oh.
Oh, okay. In the
middle. But I have a massive crush on her.
Oh, yeah. No, she's pretty.
I like Michelle Monaghan a lot.
Well, let's just wait till we see her profile.
Hold on a second.
Picture.
I know. I'm Googling Michelle Monaghan profile. Hold on a second.
Yeah, hold on, Ryan.
Let me hold my
this episode. I learned about Ibbitt's profile situation. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Don't.
Maybe that does go with my chin, my weird chin thing, you know?
Might
maybe,
be. Yeah.
Could be.
Have you woke up next to a woman in bed and looked over and went, oh no.
Profile. Oh, no. Oh no, profile.
Oh no. Yeah, right.
What have I done?
That's a funny way to
shoot
say
my
it.
Arm off to get out of that situation. Yeah.
I think she yeah. was
okay.
That's profile. Got a great profile. Look at that. Yes, very does. Yeah. Yeah.
I think she had a nasty, didn't she?
Not for you, it says.
I don't know what notofu means.
Notofu, not for you.
Notofu.
Notofu. All right. What else? That might be it. I think that's it. Anything else before I do clips? Can you think of anything?
Oh, yeah. I mean, did you guys, I mentioned it in my intro, but did you guys notice the straw music? Was it just me?
Straw music?
Straw music?
Yeah. So, you know, there's like this,
the straw sound.
You pull a straw up and down in a cup.
Oh, like sure.
And it makes that little noise.
Oh, like a little scratch, like a saw, like a saw blade scratch.
Do it again, Brian. Done away. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like all throughout this movie. It's like, I'm like, oh my God, would y'all please stop with the straw music?
I don't think I noticed it, but now I kind of want to know. Kind of want to go find out.
I'll see what I can do. The moment is tense. What's going to happen?
Yeah. Oh, another thing I was going to say, speaking of music, I thought the movie did a good job of having lack of music in the right scenes. So when you do a fight, and this may have started with like... oh, what was the Spielberg movie? 98, freaking Saving Private Ryan's Privates. that one.
So like the big shooting scenes where there's no music and it's just all bullets and people moaning and groaning and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, or even in particular, there's the one where they're in France and a German has, can't think of the actor's name, but he has him pinned down with a knife and just slowly inserts this knife into this guy's chest. There's something about fight scenes with zero music that really amp up the intensity of the fight scene as a result. And this had a really good one between him and Finger in the Mouth guy.
Yeah.
where that whole scene had no music. And there's something about that I really dig. I wish people would do it more. It just makes it more real or maybe more consequential and less just loud. And, you know, like if you see a fight in Marvel, you're going to have...
Right.
Fisticuffs are going to have music always.
Right? Yeah, it's going to be like what James Bond did with that spider. It's going to, you know, it's going to be extenuated.
Yes,
right.
Yeah, and to me, it makes it less realistic. But the minute you take the music out, it's like, oh my gosh, these guys are kicking the shit out of each other, and it's just frightening and visceral. And you know, they slam into those blinds behind them, and they go from bright light in the room to like dark because the blinds are smushed shut, and it's just really intense.
You can really hear that magazine slapping.
Yeah.
How did you how'd the three of you feel about Jason Bourne taking time to go see Nesky's daughter?
I thought it was necessary
to apologize. Yeah, because it furthers his character as having character, right? Like it, you know.
Yeah, he really is sorry for that.
Yeah,
and hates that he was had a hand in it. Yeah,
and as a character who doesn't know the truth about himself, doesn't want somebody else to have to suffer that same.
Yeah.
Questions.
Yeah, I thought it was not good. I thought it worked. Yeah. If anything, the movie felt like it didn't have an ending in a weird way. And maybe that's because it was a sequel, even though they said they weren't going to do another one after this. But it just felt like there was no proper ending. There's a car chase. You lose. Carl Urban dies. People back at the base are sort of getting their heads around stuff. And he goes and apologizes to somebody and then walks off to Moby music. And that's it.
Whoa. Wait a minute, though. Like the ending was tremendous. Like, you're like, how did he get to New York City? Oh, how interesting is it that he can just blend in? Like he's just moving around in New York City like a normal person.
That's fine. That's all good. I just mean there were, it didn't feel like your typical scene set up for an ending. It felt more like Frodo and what's his name trying to still continue to go put the ring in Mordor's hole. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It felt like a cliffhanger, right?
Like a cliffhanger. Okay,
There's more to go here.
Yeah, which I'm fine with, because of course there was more to go and it's all good, but it's just an interesting, if it was a standalone movie, I think it would have felt a little like Wayne.
It definitely felt like, and we've talked about this the last couple of weeks. I kind of think of more of it like the Bruce Banner walking away at the end of the Incredible. Time he hits the road, you know, it's like, oh, okay, he'll be back next week.
Yep. And instead of that, it's Moby music every time. I like that Moby song just fine.
I do too.
I kind of forgot about it. So yeah, it was
in the first one, right? I think.
I don't know.
Both movies?
I know there was a Moby song used at the end. Is it the same? Because I was trying to pick it. Is it Southside or is it what? No, it's not Southside.
This one is Extreme Ways.
Extreme Ways?
Hold on. That's the name of the song.
The Born. I think I can compare the two here. So
Born Moby.
Identity had, let's see, John Powell, blah, blah, blah. That's the main score. Okay, here we go. So we got. No, that's not
great.
Okay, I can't. It's not on the official soundtrack, which is lame. They don't include it, so it's all score stuff. So never mind. There's no way to verify this bullshit.
Bullshit.
Whatever. All I know is Moby music is pretty good, and I know he's a weirdo, but I like his music. Take that. Let's do some clips. We got some clips, and they are. I don't have a ton.
I just looked at the soundtracks. It's the same song.
It is the same song.
That's his theme.
It's like their theme.
Yeah.
It's like the James Bond theme. Nice job, Moby. Now to quit making up stories about you and Natalie Portman. All right, moving on.
Yeah.
Carl Urban's Russian accent. We'll begin with. It's a very short list of clips. There's nothing too goofy in this movie, but we'll do his Russian accent. Enjoy.
Morning. He's my friend. There's been a death in the family, and I wonder if you've seen him.
It's not very good. It's okay.
No. Yeah.
I mean, he's hiding his New Zealand British accent pretty well.
New Zealand, that's right. Yeah, I keep forgetting where.
But then he goes, he's so good as Billy Butcher, he sounds British.
Yeah.
He fakes that real good. All right, here we go. More Brian. Here's some Brian Cox for you. All
right. Nobody wants to know about Treadstone, not around here. So I think you better take this back to Marty. I'll let him know exactly what you're doing.
Before I got to pull out a knife and do a man murder on some poor boy on a stairwell. No.
Man murder?
Man. Brian Cox, I know we said this with Identity, but Brian Cox is still working.
Well,
he's working right now.
Yeah. Well, Succession's amazing.
Yeah.
Succession's incredible. And he hasn't aged a day, it feels like. He just looks so great.
No, he looks younger now than he does in these movies because of that crap hairdo they give him.
Yeah. I agree. He's just great.
72.
Yep. He was one of the first.
He's older than that.
He might be, but he's one of the first
76.
One of the first celebrities who that I remember saying they had COVID with no symptoms. And I remember thinking, well, that's probably good because you're like an old sponge. You're like an old, you're going to just, you know, I don't want anything bad to happen to old Cox there. You know?
Save the Cox. Ooh,
hello.
Save the Cox.
He is the star of the animated Lord of the Rings, the War of the Rohirrim that's coming.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's cool.
There's another one coming.
Yeah, that's there's cool. It's an animated one, and
go ahead.
He's playing Helm Hammerhand.
You want Ralph Bakshi? That's what you want.
Is Bakshi not coming back?
No, he's not. But look, I follow Bakshi on Twitter. Whoever runs that. I don't know if it's him.
Yeah.
He puts up shit all the time. Man, that dude was obsessed with boobs and vaginas. That guy.
And
that's all I have to say. I'm really obsessed.
Fine by Dunaway.
Yeah, fine by Dunaway.
Right? What's wrong with being obsessed with them?
You know what? That's a good phrase.
Right away, you're not, this one.
Yeah, as long as you're not touching them.
No, I like
them. Doing things that people don't appreciate, you know.
No, I like them too. I'm a big fan. I just think all his art is just like, here we go. Here's some boobs.
Focused. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. Here's the thing. What's this? Oh, find this SOB.
You're going to find this son of a bitch and take him down.
That's right. That's the guy from Gladiator.
Take him down.
Take him down. Yeah,
try to put it in your nose like that.
He's the guy from Gladiator, whose sequel is getting made right now. I'm so excited.
What?
Yeah, they're making it. Can you believe it?
And it's it got to go back to the pits?
It's Ridley Scott, and he's filming it. And I don't know. And it is definitely Russell Crowe, but I don't know if he's like.
Are they bringing the Joker back?
No. That's right. I forgot he played Joaquin Phoenix was the bad guy son in that. You're right.
We don't have any confirmed cast yet.
I thought it was Russell Crowe confirmed. No.
Nope.
Okay. I assume he's going to teach a new generation of people how to fight is what will happen. That's the deal. Anyway, no mistakes.
They don't make mistakes. They don't do random.
They don't do random.
They don't do random. I miss saying random.
Yeah.
Random.
No.
Yeah.
Here's something.
Yeah, we've abbreviated to randos all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like randos, though. It's okay. Randy's Randos. He used to start a thing.
Okay. I'm on it.
Just you and some random people. You're Randy's Randos, Dunaway's Derelicts, and Ibbitt's iPhone. I don't know. All right, here you go. Want to go home.
You want to go home? Find Jason Bourne.
Yeah, it's just like every other company. It's the government, but it's the same. Exactly, you want to go home? You want to get home at a decent time tonight? Freaking finish the Penske file or whatever.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
No one's leaving. We're ordering in food until this is done.
Yeah, you're not leaving. I've been through that. I hated that.
Oh, yeah. That's the worst.
Yeah. Although I do it to myself now all the time, but whatever.
Sure.
All right. We broke it.
His mind is broken. We broke it.
His mind is broken.
His mind is broken.
We broke it. And I can't. Okay, final clip. Again, like I said, not many. But this one, I can't believe they left this in. Like, this is some shoddy sound work. So it's a little bit. It's about 13 seconds. You want to hear the whole thing. But it's, I don't know. I'm embarrassed for them. Enjoy.
Your father was supposed to be alone. But then your mother came out of nowhere.
That girl's got a problem.
Wow. No kidding. Yeah. Jeez.
I'm worried about her.
Yeah. Yeah. Oksana. I can't say her last name, but Oksana, true Russian.
Oksana Troy. She can read your mind, and she has a thing for war. Yep.
I don't think Russian food agrees with her.
Nope.
Yeah. Hold on. The death of your parents. Do you mind if I open a window?
There's a real goulash honker in there. All right. Let's get to this here deal right here. It's the Film Sack Checklist. Steady cams don't exist in this world. Check.
No.
Moby at the endy. Check.
Yeah.
Carl Urban is 12 and looking for a good time. Check.
I thought I was done.
They keep pulling me back in. Soundtrack, great. I'm going to give this. Oh, we got to do Star Trek connections. There are a couple, including him. What do we got?
Randy? Yeah. So there's three. Yeah. Exactly three. We got Sean Smith plays Vic in this movie.
Yeah.
Vic.
Sean was in an episode of Star Trek Enterprise. Tim Griffin, who played Nevins, remember we're talking about
Nevins.
Him dying and him getting stabbed in the gut by he was in the first J.J. Abrams Star Trek.
I thought that was Nevins was the consulate guy who got knocked out.
No, different dude. Isn't it?
Nevins' character, Tim Griffin, was the
I don't know.
He's the consulate guy, right?
Oh, here he is. Okay. So you're thinking of...
But that's fine. It's not important to the Star Trek connections. Anyway, go ahead.
Gabriel Mann is the one that was in the
thing. Stabbed and he got in the stairwell, yes.
Yeah, that is
great.
Yeah.
Not important, right? So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Tim Griffin was in Star Trek 1 or Star Trek 11 or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Right.
Now I question everything, Randy.
But he's just... But he was just standing around on the USS Kelvin. His role was called Kelvin Engineer.
And,
that didn't work out for him. Wow. That guy.
Nope.
Didn't work out for him. I don't think anybody survive that? I guess Kirk's dad, or was Kirk, who cares?
Yeah.
So Carl Urban is our masterpiece of connections here. You know, all three new Star Trek movies.
He plays Spock in the Star
Trek. Yeah, he's Spock.
Right?
Yeah. He plays guys stabbed in holodeck.
Yeah. Holodeck stabbing victim number one. Yeah.
I guess the weird thing to me is that on IMDb, his cast name is different in each of the three Star Trek movies.
Really?
In the first one, he's Leonard Bones McCoy.
Okay.
The second one, Into Darkness, he's Dr. Leonard Bones McCoy.
Finally got a school.
And then in the third one, Star Trek Beyond, he is Dr. Bones McCoy.
Oh,
weird.
Interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that character.
Well, there's rumors of a new one, and if that's true, and he's back as Bones, I wonder if they'll do that again.
Bones.
Yeah.
Right.
Just Bones. That's all this.
Bones.
DeForest Kelly. They'll just give him the name of the former actor who played the role.
Yeah.
I really like him in that role, and I liked him in this. I really like, I guess I want to say this.
I like him in everything.
I like him in everything I've ever seen him in. Dread's one of my favorite things ever. I freaking love Carl Urban. But what's nice about Carl Urban is by every account, especially everybody who's on the set with him on The Boys, he's the nicest dude. Like, just the genuine dude who's always, like, just doing nice things for other people. Just a kind-hearted
I like to hear
guy.
That.
And I love hearing that. So,
yeah,
well done, guy in things.
Yeah. Guy. Not being a Hollywood dick.
Yeah.
And Carl Urban and or his agent claimed that his acting career started when he was 8. So I'm sure at that point he looked 2.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
He's also, so is he our
he looked
only,
in utero.
He's our only MCU factor in here, except for, if we ever did those connections, except you could technically say that Brian Cox was Stryker in X-Men, but that's not MCU.
Yeah, sword, yeah, not MCU, but
connected in a way. Sure. Who else? That's probably it. There's your MCU connection. We're probably going to have to start doing those. Because he was not Heimdall. He was, what was his name? He was in Thor, Thor Ragnarok.
Oh, he was right.
Shit. But Borax or something. It's like.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Borat. What?
Not Borat. Hold on. 2007, right? Or 17. Scourge. There it is.
Scourge.
S-K-U-R-G-E. Scourge. Yeah, Scourge. I'd with like his, to.
Little tattoos on his scalp.
He was also uncredited as a stormtrooper in Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker.
Oh, really? As, he was another one every, hiding in a
stormtrooper every costume? Stormtrooper.
Yeah. I feel like every stormtrooper was somebody famous. We just didn't
know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love it. That guy's great. Oh, and I guess it's just rumored, but 2023 untitled Star Trek sequel. So we'll see. All right. Soundtrack great. I give it an S for same as the last one. It's pretty much identical. It's fine. Does what it needs to do. I don't know if it's still John Powell or maybe it is. I don't know. But it's fine. It's good.
It was John Powell, and I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
It's very good. It's just a lot like the first one, which again, it's fine. It's our John. It's kind of a James Bond thing. You have common music, similar stuff. And then Moby comes in at the end and says, "Hey, I'm bald and a vegan and here's my music."
Yeah. And
luckily, time, I met.
Like we said, with Natalie Born Identity. Portman. Like,
sorry about that, Randy.
John Powell doesn't sound like John Powell. Like, that's the great thing about him. Like, this sounds like Bourne movies. His Star Wars stuff sounds like Star Wars movies, right? His How to Train Your Dragon sounds like How to Train Your Dragon movie. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
he's really great. He's under talked about, don't you think? Like, we bring him up here a lot, but everyone's always about the German, what's his name? Hans Zimmer
and everybody John else. Williams,
yeah, kind of all these other names.
Bring
and I just
German.
I feel like John Powell's like, one day we will all go, wait a minute, that guy scored a lot of cool shit, and well then he'll be appreciated for who he was. Anyway, real quick side mention, speaking of soundtracks, so this girl, let's see if I can find it.
This girl who scored the Prey.
Yeah, Prey. So she's famous. Prior to this, her work was mostly known for video game work. So she Modern Warfare. She did this all Valhalla, Odyssey, and Origins. Those three Assassin's Creed games. They have amazing soundtracks. Just really, really cool music. And that Prey soundtrack, so freaking good. I did not expect that. I went into this. Well, there's a lot of things I liked about it. I'm going to recommend it on Recommendals this coming week, but
spoiler.
Prey just in the sound and music department freaking killed it. It's so good.
Sarah Schachner.
She deserves to keep going. She's
on Twitter, and there's a lot of people celebrating this soundtrack.
It's
right now
very good. And I guess Trachtenberg, who directed the thing, he told me via DM that he picked her because he was in the middle of Odyssey or one of these recent Assassin's Creed games and got so swept up in the music that he was like, why don't we tap someone in games for this? Like, why don't no one ever thinks of that? And so that's how that all started. And it is so much better for it, man. I am telling you, when you guys watch Prey, that music is unbelievable. It's so good.
Yeah. She also, if you're paying attention, like she also scored two Call of Duty games, Infinite Warfare and Modern Warfare.
Yeah.
The 2019 Modern Warfare.
Which is also extremely good. It's very much a of its tone, but it's extremely good. She's just, I'm telling you, there's a star on the rise. We should pay attention. All right. Moving on. The Twitter post. This is where you guys sum it up. In 280 characters or less, that's the rule. And this week, I think we'll start with Randy.
The Bourne Supremacy. This guy shows up uninvited and bleeding. And he tells you about how he was there when your parents died. Like, he knows a lot. But then he asks a bunch of questions. Like, he's actually very dumb. And then he vanishes just as the police arrive. And you're like.
I love it. I love podcast moments where I think it's part of the joke, but then there's part of my brain that says also that could be his internet going out.
So a bunch of people just looked at their phones or their players to see if
still playing.
You said 280 characters.
No, it's good. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's a perfect use of the joke, but then my brain goes to those other places. And then also there are going to be some people who listen to us with that stupid feature that takes all the gaps out of it.
And
they didn't hear anything. They just heard us talk.
Right. Yeah.
That's amazing. All right. Now let's move over down the table to Brian Dunaway.
Oh, the Bourne Supremacy, like making Julia Stiles cry in a subway closet. You just know you're going to have to end on an apology. Hashtag profile Stiles.
Oh, man. Profile Stiles.
Wait a minute. It sounds like you may have added something to that on the end of your Twitter
Sometimes
post.
The hashtags, they make themselves as we do the show.
Yeah.
Sure.
Sure. Yeah. They make themselves known. Let's hear Brian Ibbotts now.
The Bourne Supremacy. Hot Russian singles are looking for you.
That's great.
That's very good. Nicely done. All right,
I wonder if that joke will hold up after like 20 or 40 years from now. Like,
I won't be around to find out.
Yeah, right. I'm just like, it was so common. Like 15 years ago, it was common to hear the phrase "Hot Russian singles are looking for you."
Yeah. Not anymore. Now they're hot Russian singles are invading Ukraine. All right. Let's
hope that joke doesn't hold up in 20 years.
Yeah, I would love that joke not to hold up in 20 years. That'd be great. Here's this. Oh boy, I can't wait to read these. Just handed to me on this little piece of paper. These are today's titles, alternate titles. This movie was almost called The Paul Is Always Green Grass on the Other Side. I did this before Brian's multiple green grass jokes today.
Sure, whatever. Liar.
Or Brian cocks a gun.
Oh,
yeah.
He shoots it.
Yeah, if they felt like maybe that would give away the story twist there. So
you could have just said Brian cocks a gun.
Yeah, Brian cocks a gun. That's pretty good. Damn it, should have workshopped it. All right. We got a couple of quick emails from our listeners. Filmsack@gmail.com is the email address they used. You should as well. That's filmsack@gmail.com. Sent one here from Jason Greenberg, who says, "Hello, Sackers. I was surprised that you all missed the ancillary trick connection to Dr. No with Jack Lord. Lord was Roddenberry's first choice to play Kirk in the second pilot. Lord demanded 50% of the show's profits, and Roddenberry sent him packing, paving the way for William Shatner to take the role. Just a Trek nerd looking for some other Trek nerds, providing Trek nerdity in a pinch. Keep up the good work, Jason Greenberg." I had no idea that was Jack Lord was almost freaking Captain Kirk. Good Lord. That's weird. You'd have been
fine. What a weird alternative universe that would be.
Well, he looks a lot like original Pike, kind of.
Yeah.
Jack Lord does. So, but also, he'd be dead now, and we still have Shatner, so I don't know. Is that good? There you go. I like Shatner, right?
Shatner thinks it is.
Yeah, he probably thinks it's okay. Anyway, that's email number one. Number two is someone named Scott, not me, says, "How about doing one of those worst animated films of all time, Dragonlance, The Dragons of Autumn Twilight," he says. Have I seen Dragonlance? I don't think I've ever seen Dragonlance.
I've seen it.
It was a thing. I remember a time when I was being told to watch a Dragonlance movie.
2008. Barbarian Woman. Go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was just going to give you some cast here. You got in voices, Michael Rosenbaum, who played Lex Luthor on the Smallville show. Kiefer Sutherland is in this. Lucy Lawless, Lawless just refuses to obey traffic laws. She's just lawless about it. Fred Tatasciore, or however you say his name, he's in all sorts of Blizzard games. Let's see. Michelle Trachtenberg, who's married to Dan, is in it, who just directed Prey. Let's see. Anyone else? That's it. People we know. Phil Lamar's in this. Anyway, it looks good. I would watch this. Let's watch this.
Yeah.
Why not? Oh, wait. Agreed. The guy. Holy shit. Just a second. Nope, that's not him. I thought the guy that played Kenny Banya on Seinfeld was in it, and I was getting all excited. He's not. Anyway, Dragonlance, Dragons of Autumn Twilight. I don't even think I'd heard of it until this email.
I definitely have not heard of it.
Is this streaming anywhere? Anyone see?
No. I'm looking. I'm looking too.
Because I'd be curious about its availability.
I want you to know, Scott.
Yeah.
This movie has no critic reviews. And a 20% audience score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Awesome. But this is based on the Dragonlance IP, I think, which is a tabletop thing, right?
It is only available for purchase. It's a low price of $3 on Amazon Prime.
Yeah, we might squeeze that in somehow. Let's see. Shared universe, blah, blah, blah. Tracy Hickman, Margaret Wise. So what is this? Oh, that's fantasy novels. So there's the Dragonlance fantasy. Yeah. I thought there was board games. Oh, there is. The Saga system and the D&D 3.5 and 5th edition all have Dragonlance modules. So that's why I was thinking of that. Yeah, you can go get the Dragonlance Advanced Dungeons & Dragons book and play D&D in their world. Anyway, we should think about that. That seems interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we don't do a lot of animated stuff just because it's harder, but that feels like it could,
yeah,
could work.
That fits like heavy metal did. Kind of.
Yeah, right.
All right, that's it for your emails. Filmpsych@gmail.com is that email again. And real quick, man, a bunch of you signed up to our Patreon this week. And so I want to give them some credit.
Welcome. And,
I'm going to play some music for it even. Hold on.
Stay a while.
I don't know what to play. I'll play this Drawful music. All right, it says Drawful 2 music while I read their names. I don't know why I did that. Over at patreon.com/filmsack, we are happy to welcome the following people. Austin Schwartz, Greg Friddle.
Friddle.
Hope I get that right. Mike Jones, yep. Larry Owen, David Dashvien Keys, Andy Dugan.
Andy.
Terry, yeah, he's cool. Terry Maros, Don Kelly, Derek McLeland, and then finally, Scott mentions Fury Road. Literally their name. Yeah,
that's
their
good name. Job. Good job.
Yep. All of you great. Joined these last 7 days, which is amazing. You guys are really, really great. We really appreciate it. And as you know, we're in the midst of a brand new month, so it's time to go sign up now to get all the cool benefits, including but not limited to access to our exclusive monthly bonus programs that we've been doing from each of us. The latest is from Brian Ibbett, and it's very good. You want to go check that out. But all the previous ones will be available to you as well. And all future ones, including Dunaway's upcoming one for the next month.
Upcoming!
So, it's going to be really great. If you have not done so yet, do it. It's really easy. Patreon.com/filmsack. Never get a commercial. Always get bonus content every week, plus all these benefits. There's no reason not to join unless you hate our guts. All right? That's Patreon.
And I just want to say that patrons, hey, feel free to use those comments on Patreon. We're all there. All four of us are in the Patreon. Uh-huh. And we're reading the comments. There's lots of ways, for instance, to suggest movies to us. You could find us on our Discord and so on. But that's a place where we are looking. So feel free to let us know what you think.
Please. We love that stuff. Love the interaction. So keep that stuff coming. Again, patreon.com/filmsack. Our next movie. We may as well tell you what we're doing here. We're doing these two in a row. Next movie is The Fugitive. And then we turn right around the next week and we give you U.S. Marshals, which is the follow-up sequel to The Fugitive. Sans Harrison Ford, of course. Yeah. And also sans high praise. The first movie is like an Oscar quality. Week. Yeah. First movie's like full of Oscar noms and wins and other stuff. And then the second one's just kind of, did we really need to make this? But we're going to find out together whether all that holds up or is true here on the show. So next week, The Fugitive. Very excited about this. Where are we streaming on this? HBO, is it?
HBO Max.
Okay. As much turmoil as is going on with the Discovery-HBO merger and potential rumors around they sure still seem to have some of the best selection for the movies we watch. So, go figure. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll see if it's HBO Max in a year, but for right now, HBO Max.
Yeah, it might be Discover-bo Max Plus next year. We'll let you know. The Fugitive, that's next week right here on FilmSack. In the meantime, FilmSack.com is the place to be, and it'll have links to everything we've talked about today, including our Twitter account at FilmSack, where you can reach out to us anytime. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy.
You look tired.
I do. We'll see you next time. Real tired.
This
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
His mind is broken. We broke it.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Sometimes the transition to fall and winter feels like experiencing every season on the same day. The shoes in the Allbirds Mizzle collection were made for misty morning walks, surprise snow days, and anything a trip to the dog park might bring. The whole collection brings together water-repellent technology and classic style, so you can stay warm, dry, and comfy during your everyday adventures. Check off your errands with the Wool Runner Mizzle. Dash through cold and wet weather with the Wool Dasher Mizzle. Or upgrade to next-level protection with the Wool Runner-Up Mizzle Plus. Go to allbirds.com and use code FRESHSOCKS for a free pair of socks with your purchase. ALLBIRDS.com, code FRESHSOCKS.